you would see on the strip all the time. But you know, there was a thing on the strip that was just like every culture, every movement, everything, a hierarchy develops in it. If you went into the deepest, darkest Amazon jungle, you would find a tribe that lorded it over the other tribe because their women had longer earlobes, or their thatch roof was better. Something, some artificial something would be there that they did. And the same thing was true of the strip. There was kind of a hierarchy of people there. There were what was called back in those days the hip capitalists. And I was part of that. And I remember knowing there were several clothing stores there that you could get, you know, tie-dye and whatever it is. And I was friends with a couple of the owners of those. There was a hierarchy. There was a street hippie, a capitalist hippie, or
Joe Shiplow of RFG, he says that the split was, he said, there were park hippies and the strip hippies. Yeah. The park hippies were a lot more peaceful than the strip hippies.
The strip, he's absolutely right. I kind of looked askance at the streets because there was a lot of bad crap.
Yeah.
A lot of people cruising that, and there was some hooking going on.
Yeah.
Dope selling and stuff like that. So, you know, in a lot of it was just exhibitionism, I guess. People standing on there, you know, and all the South Georgia people would come up on the weekend and drive by and look.
Well, that's one of the things the History Center was interested in, and how it's documented the counterculture in San Francisco, LA, New York. And there's not that much documented here. Especially the extra thing of the South was a little backwards then. This was almost a quantum leap to catch up to the 60s.
You know, yeah, I think there's too much made of that. I think if you have to quantify this, are you talking about in numbers of, or advanced thinking, or cognitive? I mean, what's your criteria to judge whether San Francisco? I went to San Francisco in the early days, and yeah, there was a bigger scene in numbers of people and larger geographic location. But when this scene was still innocent to a degree, San Francisco was hateful. I remember being just dumbfounded because I was used to peace, love, and everything. Well, by the time this got really established here, San Francisco turned some sort of corner.
Yeah.
And dope, which is the cancer of all things.
Yes.
You know, it already was, most of the people I met there were dope dealers.
Yeah.
New York was a little different. I used to go to New York, and I stayed at an ashram in New York, a barge on the East River. And while most of them really were genuine, you know, people, there was already developing then a fringe of people around them who were looking, how can I make something off of this, you know. So.
Well, I think in Atlanta, just because like 72, I was already living over in Little Five Points. You had to be rather discreet. There were still folks that would like beat you up just because of the way you look.
Just because you look. Oh, listen, tell me about it. I used to have hair down to my waist, and many, many times they wouldn't let me have hair. Now I tell you about it, the Holiday Inns would always let you in, but other hotels wouldn't. We'd be on the road, You know, we couldn't get in there. We're going to a restaurant. They wouldn't serve us. Nobody ever tried to beat me up. I was pretty mean looking.
Yeah.
But I used to go out with groups. It was hell.
Yeah. I
never understood why people hated me like that. Still don't understand that, actually.